much. Our next speaker, giving us some information about the library system, expanded course reserves, Robin Canuel of the Liaison, who is Liaison Library Humanities and Social Sciences. Please.
Hello. I'm very happy and excited to be here today to talk about delivering the goods, McGill Library's expanded course reserve service. As I just mentioned, my name is Robin Canuel. I'm the liaison librarian responsible for French language and literature and psychology in the Humanities and Social Sciences Library. I'm also one of three librarians who helped develop the expanded course reserve service and managed the pilot project last summer under the direction of Diane Cohen, our current director of libraries. I provide you a little bit of background. Before I describe the service, over the past several years, the library has received feedback from our students that they wanted increased linking to library resources. The SSMU Library Improvement Fund committee members felt so strongly about this need that they decided to fund the original Expanded Course Reserves pilot project last summer. And with this funding, we were able to hire four full-time work-study students to help kickstart the service. In the fall of 2009, our own library staff took over the processing of expanded course reserves. Traditionally, our course reserve service was limited to books and paper copies of articles, which were requested by faculty to be set aside with a restricted borrowing period so that all students would have a chance to consult the material for the course. One of the limitations of this service, however, was that only one student could consult any individual item at any given time. The goal of our expanded course reserve service is to ensure that we link to any item owned by the library, available electronically or in print, which appears on any course reading list we receive. These items are made available either through a direct link to the e-journal article or e-book or to the catalog record of the print monograph or print journal. By doing this, our students benefit from having quick, easy access to all readings owned or licensed by the library. We receive course reading lists in three ways. Working in collaboration with ancillary services, we are automatically forwarded the table of contents for all course packs they produce. We also receive reading lists sent or delivered directly to our course reserves desk, or course syllabi are sent directly to liaison librarians. One innovative aspect of our expanded course reserve service is that we are now integrating our licensed and free electronic resources into the existing course reserve service. Over the past several years, more and more electronic media types have become available and are increasingly popular with our students. In response to this, the library has made our acquisition of electronic materials such as e-books and e-journals a priority. Our capacity for digital content delivery is increasing literally daily. We currently have approximately 2 million e-books in our collection and almost 60,000 electronic journal subscriptions. One of the advantages of linking to electronic resources is that in most cases, many students can access an item simultaneously, and from anywhere with an internet connection. With that said, not everything is available electronically, and many of our students and instructors prefer to read in print. So in addition to linking to electronic resources, we also provide links to the catalog record of the print monograph or print journal. So some statistics. We processed about 400 reading lists in both the fall and winter semesters last year and created thousands of links. These links were to materials in all formats, including print books and journals, e-newspaper articles, e-books, e-journal articles, e-theses, websites, and streaming audio and video. We were happy to see that approximately 90% of all the articles which our professors asked students to read were available electronically. We were pleasantly surprised, however, with the fact that almost 20% of the books were also available electronically. So there are four ways to access our expanded course reserve service. Traditional access through the library catalog using the course reserve subcatalog, which you're probably most familiar with. Via our library website on the homepage under the course materials tab. In my courses, WebCT Vista via a power link, which is enabled by faculty. Or now using our new mobile library website. I will now give you a brief demonstration of the four ways. We developed a course reading list on the history of jazz for demonstration purposes, which contains a variety of print and electronic content. So this is what you're probably most familiar with. This is the tradition. This is the course reserve subcatalog in the classic catalog. So all you have to do is select course reserves, enter your course number, click on browse, and it will bring you to a list of courses with your course listed at the top of the list. You just click on this link, and it will bring you to a list of all the print and electronic resources that are listed for your course. So we now link to electronic journal articles, which is different. So we provide the full citation to the article and a direct link to the full text. This brings you to a link to an article in JSTOR, and then sometimes it's a direct link to the article. Sometimes you have to click on the PDF, and this brings you to the full text. As I mentioned, we're linking to print and electronic materials. So here's a link to the print version of a book in our catalog, to the catalog record. And right next to it is the link to the e-book version. And there's the e-book. We also now can link to e-theses, either available through ProQuest dissertation and theses, or also to McGill-produced theses and dissertations available through our institutional repository, e-scholarship. So this is a link to a McGill-produced dissertation that's available in e-scholarship. So you just click on the PDF, and there's the full text of the dissertation. Since September 2009, we have this course materials tab on the homepage of our library website, and it works just like the, it searches the course reserve subcatalog, just like in the classic catalog, and just like that, you enter your course number, you select search, and it brings you to the same list. We can also link now to websites that are available freely on the internet. So this is a link to a website on the history of jazz in Vancouver. We can also link to streaming video that's available freely on the internet or through subscription. And so this is a link to a Miles Davis and John Coltrane video available through YouTube. We're also embedded now in the learning management system, My Courses, and instructors and professors can add a link to their course reserves list on the homepage of their My Courses page for their course. So to do this, it's quite simple. You just go to the Build tab, select the Add Content Link function, click on Course Reserves, then click on the Create Course Reserves button, and then enter a title for your link, either Course Materials or Course Reserves, and then click Save, and it will put a link on the homepage of your course. And when students click on that link, it brings up the list within their My Courses page. And then they can link to that same list, and here's a link to streaming audio, and this is a Cannonball Adderley available through our Naxos Music Library. Also, you can now access course reserves through our new mobile library website. And for us, this is very exciting. We are pleased to announce that the library has been developing a mobile version of the library website, which is accessible using several smartphones with a web browser. The mobile website is in beta right now. However, it can be viewed at the website on this screen at m.library.mcgill.ca. The course reserve search feature searches the course reserve subcatalog. Users can look up their course reading materials using multiple fields, including course number, instructor, course name, department, title, call number, and author. To access McGill licensed electronic resources available through the mobile library website, mobile users must be on the McGill wireless or VPN, connection. So they must have the VPN or the wireless connection activated on their phone. Instructions are available on the IT knowledge base on configuring the VPN and the wireless for the Apple iPhone and iTouch. So on this our mobile website, you just click on the course reserves button, and you just enter your course number just like the other two searches I demonstrated, MUHL 394. It brings you to the same list. Then if you want to click on an ebook, you just click find it, and then sometimes you have to zoom in, click view this ebook, and then you're reading the book on your phone. And same thing for anything else on the list. So you just click, here's an example to an article, you'll zoom in, click full text PDF, and then you're reading the full text of the article on your phone. So, just to sum up, benefits of the Expanded Course Reserves Project, just-in-time information for learning anywhere, anytime, mobile learning. It is a less costly option for our students. It's environmentally friendly. Students will potentially use less paper. Easier access to library resources is provided, helps support compliance with copyright laws, availability of different media types creates new possibilities for how instructors design their courses, and finally, targeted collection development, in that we now automatically order a print copy of the book if not already in our collection, and the ebook if one is available for purchase. So I'm happy to answer any questions you may have regarding our expanded course reserve service. However, if you have any questions related to this service or any other library resource or service, please come and see us at our library table today. We will be there for the entire day. Thank you.
Thank you, Robin. I think he must have been paid by the Faculty of Music. That's really interesting and really well presented. Are there questions about this? Yes, right here, please.
Hi,
just identify yourself, if you would, briefly.
Elaine Ransom Hodges, and I work for the Office for Students with Disabilities. And I think it's fantastic that we have more and more access to digital texts, because I work with many students who rely on digital texts in order to access print. And I'm just wondering if everything you've described in your presentation today is accessible to adaptive technology?
I can't say that for certain.
Okay.
I know that there's different issues with, depending on the technology. If you're talking in terms of reading the text?
Kurzweil, other text to voice.
Yeah, actually, I'm not familiar with those technologies, okay. So I can't really answer that question. But I'm sure that there's glitches and different situations depending on what you're looking at. But sorry,
right.
I don't really know.
So we need to talk.
Yep, definitely.
The second thing is, would it be possible for this presentation plus the voice, like something like Camtasia, to be available on the library website for students to, and instructors and other people who provide support to students, to have access to that information in a more visual audio kind of way?
Well, I think that's possible. In fact, I know that's possible. And we actually created a web page for today for everything we're presenting at our table, including this. I don't think we've talked yet about creating a live video, but for the time being, you can contact your liaison librarian in the hospital. I'm sorry, not in the hospital. That's my last job. In the university.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a clinical research librarian for the last 6 or 7 years. And we will make those links for you. So you don't have to do it yourself. You just give us your list. But we had, like I mentioned,
right.
we processed 400 lists in each semester. Those were lists that we received if you created a course pack or you delivered a list to us. Well, that didn't mean it was done systematically across the university.
Right.
So we need your list.
Okay.
So we get it in various ways, but probably the best way to get it is to send it to your librarian, and they will make those links for you.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah.
John and Stuart are recording all of this, and I'm sure if you contact the organizers of this conference, you can make that happen seamlessly. I'm sure that it is. And iTunes U.
So then we can create a direct link to that on our page.
Great. Other questions about how this all works? Oh, sorry. Yes, please.
I provided all my course readings this last term electronically. I think I mentioned this to you. And I got the feedback that at least I would say a third of the students would have preferred a classic reader, you know, where everything is printed out and they purchase it and they can write on it. So my question for you is, do you have any student feedback on providing everything digitally? Should we look at it as an additional tool, or is this a tool that replaces, you know, the old handouts by in the bookstore kind of type of reading?
That's a good question. And to be fair, what we've done really is only provided a choice. I think I was pretty clear to show that we were integrating the print and the electronic. That was like the example for the book. So we know that half of our, but a lot of our users like the electronic. I personally would never read a book on my phone, even though that was cool. That's me. I know for a fact people do read books on their phones, so that's them. Right now all we're doing really is making sure everyone has options.
Okay.
We know that there are students that would love to have the entire course pack all together, one-stop shopping, because then there's nothing else to do. But that's expensive, and some people, that's not their preference. They'd rather read on a screen. So really, I would say this is the best of both worlds. Mm-hmm. We've given both. We're not replacing ancillary services or the course pack production.
Yeah.
That's a completely different service. This is just what the library is doing.
Yeah.
I think what we're going to find as the day goes on is that there are more and more learning options that are becoming available, have been available, and there's another question somewhere, everybody? Sorry.
Very, very quickly, because this is more personal, but I have quite a few colleagues here. We're teaching French, and, you know, the YouTube I'm trying to explore. Is there anything for French resources in
Are you talking about this, electronically?
Yes, electronically I know there are, mm-hmm. but for the video, like what you call streaming video.
Streaming video. Well, I mean, really, if you go to YouTube, I don't remember the numbers, but I mean, just recently they celebrated their fifth anniversary, and I heard a number, millions and millions and millions. And I haven't personally looked for French videos, but I'm almost positive a lot of it must be in French.
Oh, no, there are. I was just wondering, through the library, if there's a selection or...
Streaming electronics, see, this is one thing we have quite a few resources for streaming audio. A lot of the streaming video is available freely on the internet.
Yeah.
We buy DVDs still for film, for any language, in DVD. But it's clear to me that the next services are going to be streaming video, just like the Naxos Music Library for music. So it's not there yet, but it's imminent.
Okay.
Yeah.
You have 2010 movies freely available? Okay.